Okay, we find ourselves within the Shlosha Shemei Hagbala, which are the 3 days of preparation for the Yom Tov of Shuas. And obviously, Torah is very much on our mind. And these are days which are tremendous opportunities. The Svarim explained that these are great opportunities, these are serious days. The Shulach Kadosh said that the Yom Tov of Shuas, the way that it relates to the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, is that while Rosh Hashanah perhaps we're judged on our physical needs for the year, the Yom Tov of Shuas is when we're really judged for all of our ruchnis. It's the Yom Tov, it's the Rosh Hashanah of spirituality, and therefore we need to prepare ourselves in these coming days to make sure that we're ready, or as ready as we can be, to receive the Torah. So I want to talk about the role of Torah in our life, and I want to go back to really the beginning of the story, because the story begins way before Kabbalah Satorah in the year 2448 from creation of the world. The story really begins before the creation of the world. There's a Mishnah in Maseches Chagiga. It's not on the page in front of you, but the Mishnah tells us in the second parak of Chagiga that there are certain things, as much as Jews were encouraged to think, and were encouraged to question, and were encouraged to explore, there are a couple of things we're not supposed to think too much about. So the Mishnah says in Chagiga, it's on Daf Yud Aleph from the Beis, the Mishnah says, we shouldn't ask, ma lamala, ma lamata, ma lefanim, ma laachor. What does it mean, ma lefanim, ma laachor? It's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosos. Tosos thinks, based on a Tosefta, that ma lefanim, we shouldn't think about ma lefanim. What was life like before creation of the world? What existed before creation of the world? Ma lefanim. What was formerly the reality of life? Or where was Hashem? How was Hashem? What was reality? Again, it's an impossible question for our minds to grasp. And therefore, Tosfos says, we're not supposed to think what was kodem ha'olam, ma lefanim. Ma shahaya, says Tosfos. We're not supposed to think about that all that much. However, we do know from the Gemara in source number one, the Gemara in the fourth parak of Psachim, that there were certain things that existed before the world existed. The Gemara in Psachim lists 7 things, Nundal and Amad Aleph, Shiva Dvarim Nivru Kodem Shenivra Ha'olam. Before Hashem made the world, there were 7 things that God had. And each one definitely requires a lot of study. Ve'elohein, Torah, Tshuva, Gan Eden, Gehenim, Kisei HaKavod, God's heavenly throne, Beis HaMikdash, Ushmo Shel Mashiach, and the name of Mashiach. Okay, I wish we had time for the whole list. We don't, so we'll do the first one. First one on the list is Torah. Torah existed prior to creation of the world. And the question is, what was Torah before the world existed? Before there was humanity, before there were a Jewish people? What was the purpose of Torah? What was the role of Torah? Why did God create Torah prior to having a world and people to give it to? And again, some of these sources are well known, but let's try to really internalize them as we prepare for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So the Medrash answers the question in source number 2. The very first beginning of the Medrash Rabbah on Bereishis, Rab Hoshia Rabbah Pasach. Rab Hoshia Rabbah began by quoting a Pasuk in Mishlei. Ve'ehyeh etzlo Amon. I was with him as an Amon, as a confidant, as a close friend. Ve'ehyeh shashuim yom yom. And it was a source of delight each and every day, something pleasurable, shashuim. Shashuim means like a toy, something fun, something enjoyable. And the Medrash has different interpretations. What does it mean, ve'ayah etzlo amon? I was with him like a confidant. So explains the Medrash, in one of the opinions, Dalet Aleph, davar acher, amon uman. Uman, not the gathering place of the breastlovers on Rosh Hashanah, right? But uman as what? As a craftsman, an artisan. I was like a craftsman. I was like an artisan, like an artist. HaTorah omeres ani hayisi kli umnuso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was, so to speak, the Torah says, the architect. I was the mastermind behind creation of the world. I was the kli umnus. I was the tool. All the imagery we have from the Yom Noran, right? Like the tools in the hands of the artist or the carpenter or the craftsman. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Torah, and the Torah declares itself the Kli Umnus Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bin Noeg Shebaolam, the way of the world is that Melech Baser V'dam Bona Platin, if a king wants to build for himself a magnificent palace, Eino Bona Osa Midas Atzmo, the king does not build the palace of his own thinking. He may be a bright king, he may be a very intelligent king, he's a very powerful king, he's a wealthy king, he doesn't know how to build a palace. If he wants the water to work properly, the showers, the sinks, the toilets, to operate properly, that's not his expertise. And he knows that. So the king might have a vision of grandeur of what the palace is going to look like, but he doesn't create the palace midas atzmo, el midas uman, but he hires professionals, a contractor, a builder, someone to design the blueprint. And the craftsman, the architect, also doesn't have it all in his head. Rather, what does he do? He draws up documents. He has his pads and his notepads and his blueprints. What were exactly were the dimensions that we discussed for this room? How is it supposed to look? How tall was the ceiling? What type of lighting did it have? Where were the air-conditioned ducts going to go? Heichu osa pishpishin. Right, where are we going to put the small entranceways, the gates, and the small chambers? Kach HaYakadosh Baruch Hu mabit b'Torah uvori esol. Says the Medrash very famously, the Zohar has a similar statement, istakul ba'oraisa ubar alma. God looked at the Torah as the blueprint by which the world was created. V'Torah amra bereishis bara Elokim ve'ein reishis el Torah. Bereishis, with the Torah itself, which is called Reishis, Bara Elokim, Esa Shamayim, Ve'esa Aretz, ... and everything else that came afterwards. Hada Atamar, Hashem Kushis, and Bereish the Torah. Happens after an architect builds a building, builds a house, builds a structure. What do you do with the blueprint? Well, hopefully not too much, right? Because hopefully everything's working properly and you can roll up the blueprint and put it away in a closet. The Torah, the blueprint of creation of the world, is not at all meant to be rolled up and put away, obviously, after it's used. It's a living blueprint. It's a living blueprint. We need to constantly refer to the blueprint. Again, when do you pull out the blueprint? When there's a problem with the house, and someone comes to do work on the house, they say, you know, do you happen to have some of the blueprint? Oh, do you happen to have that manual that the guy who installed these air-conditioned ducts gave you originally when he first put it in? There's different ways to wire it. I want to see if he made a note about how he wired it so it'll make it easier for me to correct the problem. That's when we usually turn to the blueprint. But the Torah is not a blueprint that's only meant to be used in a time of crisis. The Torah becomes, again, the term I'm using, I don't know if it's a fitting way to describe it, it's a living blueprint. It's a living blueprint. It's a blueprint that continues to give life and give direction to the existence of the world after the world has been created. And it requires not only creation of the world following the blueprint of the Torah, but you have to understand that this is what Shavuos really reminds us in a certain way. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, by looking in the Torah, the world didn't have the Torah, not the way that we have. Again, in 2448, when the Jews left Mitzrayim, Hashem took the Jews to Har Sinai and gave them the Torah. How did the world survive for all of those years leading up to Har Sinai? It was the kindness of Hashem. Because the Torah is really what keeps the world going, as we'll see. So for those 26 generations leading up to Kabbalah's Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His mercy allowed the world to exist and to continue to exist. Even though there were few and far between who were really studying the blueprint. It could be those special architects, the Avrams, the Yitzchaks, the Yaakovs, the Saras, the Rivkas, the Rachels, the Leahs of the world. It could be that their connection to Torah was so profound, a Torah prior to the giving of the Torah, that they were able to uphold the world. But for the most part, the world was upheld because of God's kindness. Where do we reflect that in our tefillos? Which parak in Tehillim reflects that reality? We say it as part of our Shabbos morning davening. Kili olam chasto, kili olam chasto, kili olam chasto. Tehillim kuf lamed vav, chapter 136. Kili olam chasto appears how many times? 26 times. For 26 generations prior to Kabbalah Satorah, because it was a chesed of Hashem that we made it through all those time periods. Kili olam chasto, with tremendous kindness, Hashem pushed us through. But then finally we came to Har Sinai, and Hashem once again took out the blueprint and handed a copy to each and every one of us, man, woman, and child. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, now we're going to determine whether or not the world has stability, has lasting power or not. Let's review a famous Rashi from the beginning of Chumash. Vayar Elokim eskol asher asa v'inei tov ma'od v'yera v'yvoker yom hashish. In the creation of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reflects on all that He created. Hashem looks, and it looks good. In fact, it looks very good. V'inei tov ma'od. Mamish, very good. V'yera v'yvoker yom hashishi. Notice it's hashishi. First time that we have the hay appearing with the declaration of the day. It's yom echad, yom sheni, yom shlishi, rivii, chamishi, yom hashishi. Why is it yom hashishi? What's with the hay? Explanations in source number 4. Yom hashishi, hosif hay bashishi. Why the sudden appearance of hashishi, the sixth day? Bigmar Maisa Bereishis, because now that God has completed creating, again, the seventh day is going to be a day of rest. Hashem is going to create rest, which is an interesting term that Chazal used, the creation of rest. You would think that rest is just refraining from doing, but Hashem created rest. Okay, another topic for another time. But now that Hashem has completed creation, the sixth day of creation, Lomar, what's the hey? It comes to teach us. Shehitna imahem amanas yekablu aleihem Yisrael chamisha chum shei Torah. What does the hey represent? Who knows five? Pesach wasn't that long ago. Who knows five? Five of the books of the Torah. So hashishi means now that we've completed shishi, now that the world is built, it's all dependent on hey. It's all dependent on the five books of the Torah to uphold the world. Or maybe said differently, says Rashi where it's bolded, davar acher, yom hashishi. Let's not focus on the hey per se, but the sixth, meaning a particular sixth. And what sixth are we referring to? Kulam tluyim va'ondim ad yom hashishi. We're waiting for the sixth day of Sivan, hu shishi b'sivan hamuchan l'matan Torah. It's God's way of saying at creation, as steady as the world, as solid as my world looks, as perfect as my world is, my world could fall apart in no time. When I offer the Jewish people the Torah at Har Sinai, if they take it, the world goes on. If they don't take it, hashishi. If that sixth doesn't happen, the sixth of Sivan, Kabbalah Satorah doesn't happen, then the world will literally fall apart. The world will completely fall apart. So Kabbalah Satorah comes to solidify that creation of the world, which followed the blueprint long before. But now the question becomes, how much does Torah play a role on a daily basis in maintaining the world? Meaning Hashem looked at the Torah as the blueprint of the world, that was step one. And when the Jews accepted the Torah at Har Sinai, that solidified Hashem's desire to continue the world, that's step two. But from that moment forward, it's no longer Kili Olam Chasto. It's not that Hashem's going to keep the world going based on His Chesed. We have to do our part. And doing our part means maintaining that connection to Torah every single day, and not just every single day, every single second of every day. Before we get to that, let's take half a step back. What day was Kabbalah Satorah? I was thinking today. Maybe the day that Hashem, the day of the week, I'm saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to give us the Torah can shed some light on our connection to Torah and the need to maintain that connection to Torah to uphold the world. Again, it's not just, oh, we accepted it at Har Sinai and now we can put the blueprint away. Or we can put, you know, copies of the blueprint on our shelves and leave it on the bookcase. To what degree do we have to be osek b'Torah to study the blueprint, to maintain a constant connection to that living blueprint? So again, what day of the week was the Torah given? Shabbos. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Pei Vav, that everyone agrees, there's a debate actually, as to what day of the month it was. The month for sure was Sivan. The day of the month is not exactly clear, but the day of the week is absolutely clear. The Gemara says, everyone agrees, Kuli Alma B'Shabbos Nitna Torah L'Yisrael. Everyone agrees that on Shabbos the Torah was given to the Jewish people. Why did Hashem give the Torah on Shabbos? What would you say? So you'll say, well, Shabbos is holy and the Torah is holy. You could say Shabbos is sort of the declaration of our belief in a creator, and so is Torah. Believing in Torah, believing that there was a God who gave us the Torah. I believe God created the world. I believe God directs the world through Torah. Okay. It could be that Hashem chose to give the Torah on Shabbos because maybe Hashem's way of saying Shabbos is going to be a day of the week that's miyuchad for Torah. Not miyuchad in the sense that we only study Torah on Shabbos, but the most optimal day to study Torah is Shabbos. And there's a lot of indication like that. There's a Talmud Yerushalmi in Maseches Shabbos in the 15th parak that says that Hashem gave us Shabbos and Yom Tov specifically for Torah study. There's a Ben Ish Chai who says that when you learn Torah on Shabbos, listen to this, this Shabbos that leads us into Shavuos, think about it. For an hour of Torah on Shabbos, you get the Schar, the Ben Ish Chai says, based on the Mekubalim, for 1,000 hours of Torah during the week. It's good, no? Yeah, it's a good return. It's solid. It's a solid investment. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean, okay, great, so I'm going to cancel all my chavrusas during the week. I'll stop. I'll be sitting here next Thursday night by myself. Everyone's going to say, Moshe Tzvi, give this year on Shabbos. You know, we're Jewish investors here. We want to make a pretty penny here. All right, 1,000 hours worth of schar for 1 hour of Torah on Shabbos. Okay, so there's something spiritual that happens on Shabbos. Maybe that's why God gave the Torah on Shabbos. The Sfas Emes says the Jewish people have a unique ability to create Torah on Shabbos. Chidushei Torah. Maybe that's because we're better rested. I don't know. But we have a unique ability to expand the Torah and to expound the Torah more deeply on Shabbos. Why did Hashem give the Torah on Shabbos? So I'd like to suggest the following possible link between Torah and Shabbos. What is the role of Shabbos in keeping the world spinning, keeping the world going? Very significant. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in source number 5. When Hashem created the world, the pasuk is clear. Ki sheishes yamim osa Hashem es haShemayim v'saaretz. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh reading source number 5. Achein matzinu. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu gila hadavar. B'masha amar ba'asaras hadibros. God said in the Ten Commandments. Ki sheishes yamim osa Hashem es haShemayim. Please translate those words literally. Ki sheishes yamim. Not b'sheishes yamim. It doesn't say that God created the world in 6 days. It says ki sheishes yamim. 4 6 days. Hashem was experimenting. Let's try this for a couple of days. Let's see how it goes. Hashem gave enough energy, power to the world to exist for 6 days. Ki sheishes yamim. Also Hashem es haShemayim v'saaretz. Nu, so what happens after 6 days? God has to make the world again. The world falls apart and then God recreates it. I'm reading where it's bolded in source number 5. Hashem revealed to us that at the time of creation, lo bara Hashem, koach ba'olam zulas la'amod sheishas yamim. Hashem created the world with enough energy to last for 6 days. Litam hanodalo, a reason that is only known to Hashem. And gam yadua liyode emes. And if you know Kabbalah, you also probably know why. V'nishakim Hashem ubara yom echad, hu yadua la'Hashem, barakadosh baruch hu in his great wisdom selected a particular day, a day that is well known to Hashem. Ubo bayom chozer Hashem washpia nefesh la'olam. And on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathes new life into the world. Shira makayim od sheishes yamim. Hashem gives enough energy to make it through one more week, just another 6 days. Vechein al zeh haderech, and this repeats itself over and over and over again. And what, of course, is that day? It's Shabbos Kodesh. For 6 days, God created the world. Shabbos comes, and when we keep Shabbos, we literally keep the world going. Shabbos is the weekly checkpoint where we decide we want the world to continue. Vizulas ze hayom haya haolam chariv b'gmar sheishes yamim v'chozer letohu vavohu. Amazing words of the Rachayim HaKadosh. If not for Shabbos each week, I mean, we feel this way just because we're burnt out from work or from whatever, school, whatever we do. All right, it's Hashem gave us almost a physical response, like, I'm not going to survive without Shabbos. Right, you're actually not going to survive without Shabbos. You will not survive without Shabbos. The world would cease to exist and go back to Tohu Vavohu. And it's the spiritual energy of Shabbos that renews the world. And if not for that, it would cease to exist, v'tzarach Hashem la'achino pambeis, and Hashem would have to literally create a world over again. Uve'emtzos Shabbos ha'olam omi. But through the power of what? Shabbos, the world continues to exist. So perhaps, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know what? I'm going to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael on Shabbos. Because the same way that when a Jew really understands what Shabbos is, you realize, I can't survive without Shabbos. Hashem says, exactly. And the Torah that I'm giving you right now, again, we have a question that we're not going to answer tonight. Why did God wait 2,448 years from creation to finally give the Torah? Why didn't Hashem give the Torah earlier? It's a good question. We spoke about it in the past. We're not going to speak about it tonight. Right? But that was Hashem's choice. But Hashem was making it clear to us, you know how Shabbos keeps the world going? Guess what? The Torah that I'm giving you at Har Sinai also keeps the world going. And Shabbos comes once a week to keep the world going. Torah every second, you need it to survive. You can't make it through a day, and you can't make it through a moment. Someone came to the Chiddush Arim one time. I was complaining to the Ger Rebbe, the first Ger Rebbe, it's so hard for me to learn Torah. I don't enjoy learning Torah, I'm not into learning Torah. I can't bring myself to do it sometimes. Okay. So the Ger Rebbe said to him, are you ever not in the mood for, a particular food? Yeah. So he said, imagine you only had that food to eat. Would you say you're not in the mood, or would you find it within your ability to eat it? So he said, I would eat it. Even if I didn't enjoy it, I would eat it. Why would you eat it? So he said to the guy, Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, because if I don't eat it, I'm going to die. I need food to survive. So the Rebbe said, right. And you also need Torah to survive. What do you mean you're not in the mood for it? The parent says to the child, eat your vegetables. You need this. This is for your health. You have to eat this. It's not just when you're into it, when it feels enjoyable. It's something that has to become kiheim chayenu v'archimenu, that our life is dependent upon. Not once a year on Shavuos, not once a week like Shabbos, but every single second of every day. And that brings us to this week's Pirkei Avos, the sixth and final parak that we study this Shabbos in preparation for the Yom Tov of Shavuos. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir taught, Kol ha'osek b'torah lishma, in source number 6. Anyone who studies Torah lishma, I'm not going to focus on that term right now. Zocha l'dvarim harve. If you study Torah for its sake properly, you'll be zocha to many things. V'lo od. And not only that, forget all the perks that come with Torah. V'lo od. Not only that, elishakol ha'olam kulo kedai hulo. The whole world is fitting for him. It's kedai. It's worthwhile for him. What does that mean? If you study Torah properly, then the whole world is fitting for him. Is kedai, it's worthwhile for him. What does that mean? Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the student of the Vilna Gaon, an idea that he develops throughout his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim in the fourth Shar, in Perak Yud Aleph, in Perak Chaf Hei, but an idea that he develops as well in this Mishnah, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, Ruach Chaim, in source number 7, he explains as follows, V'lo od, el shekol ha'olam kulo kedai hu lo. Listen to what he says. Amazing idea. Scary idea, but an amazing idea. Ki im rega achas hayan nifsak divrei Torah mikol ha'olam me'osakeo v'shomreo. If Torah would not be studied, rega, like the Gemara says in Brachos, rega, how long is a rega? Kememrei, the amount of time to say the word rega, a split second. If there would not be Torah studied for a second, if Torah would not be, if people would not be involved in Torah, doing Torah, keeping Torah, if there'd be a moment without Torah in this world, hayu shamayim va'aretz nehavim letov avo, the world, v'nahafachu, overturned, back to nothingness, tov avohu. Kamo sha'amru chazal, as the Gemara says in the Darim, on the Pasuk, im lo brisi yomam v'layla, if not for the covenant of day and night, and that covenant, of course, is Torah, v'hagisabo yomam v'layla, chukos shamayim va'aretz lo samti, the heaven and earth could not maintain their place. V'gam harakia shal gabe rashi achayos b'chlal. And when the Mishnah says what? That kol ha'olam kulo kedaihu. You know what kol ha'olam kulo means? Why not just say kol ha'olam? What's kol ha'olam kulo? Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, not just the physical world as we know it. Not just your own backyard. Not just whatever country you live in. Not just the globe. Not just the little ball flying in the sky we call planet Earth. But worlds beyond this world. All the worlds. Kol olam kulo. Worlds above the heavens. Worlds of chayos and ofanei hakodesh and seraphim and angels. Categories of angels that the Rambam describes in Yesodei HaTorah. All those madrigos. They would also cease to exist. Ukamosha omrim v'chay olam nata b'socheinu. The key of life, the chaye olam, the existence of the world, was implanted amongst us. And when do we say those words? In the context of our relationship to Torah. Ki chiyus kol ha'olam toloi, b'mashin nasan livnei adam toras emes. Because the existence of the world, the existence of the world is entirely dependent upon our commitment to living Torah. Val yidei zechai olam nata b'socheinu. The life, not just chaye olam, not eternal life, but chaye ha'olam, the life of the world, is dependent upon the Torah that was handed to us. What a remarkable responsibility and privilege. V'im kein. Halo me Torah efshar, sheba osa rega kol ha'olam misbatlim, v'im kein umakayim olam umalawa. So says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, after 6 cups of coffee and 12 pieces of cheesecake, and you're getting a little tired, and you can't keep your eyes open for a second. Yeah? Well, look around. A lot of other people can't keep their eyes open either. And think to yourself, what happens if everyone's sleeping now? What if I'm the only one learning Torah right now? The reality is it's probably not true. Some of the Sfarim explain Hashem actually created time zones to ensure that there'd always be people in different parts of the world actually engaged in Torah. Amazing idea. But think to yourself, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Look at the words again. I'm going to read it again. Words bolded in source 7. V'im kein, halo me Torah. When you study Torah, you have a right to think the following. Efshar. It's possible. It's unlikely, but it's possible. And the fact that it's possible, the fact that it's true, if it were to happen, is enough to be mechazik you for the rest of your life. That it's possible that at that very moment, kol ha'olam is batnam. Maybe there's no one else engaged in Torah right now. V'im kein, and if that's true, you know why the world exists? every blade of grass, every mosquito chasing me around Bergenfield, you know, every animal in the rainforest, every star in the sky, every angel in the heavens above. You know how all of those things exist because of the Torah that you're learning. V'im kein hu mekayim olam umaloa. You are the reason for the existence of the world. What an amazing idea. And he says two lines from the end where it's bolded. V'zeu lo ach al kabbalas ha-Torah, ki im af im hayachas v'sholom kol olam kula b'telem karega milimra Torah haya olam chozer l'tov avav. This is not only at the moment of acceptance of the Torah, but this is true every second of every day, says Rav Chaim of Elashin. And that's what it means, kol ha-olam kula ratza lomar, gam ha-elyon, even the world above. There's a beautiful volume called Ruach Eliyahu, from the world, the Beis Medrash of the Vilna Gaon. And it says in there on page 101, that Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in the yeshiva, in the Volozhiner yeshiva, they actually established a system of shmirah, around the clock, 24-7. They had a rotation to make sure that their yeshiva would be responsible 24-7, the full calendar year, that there's always going to be someone in our yeshiva who's learning to make sure that we understand that our Torah upholds the world. They didn't believe that no one else in the world was learning. They knew other people were learning. But they wanted to create an environment that said, we value Torah to such a degree that we're going to make sure our base measures, the lights never go out. There's always someone studying Torah. And on Motzei Yom Kippur, Rav Chaim Volozhiner himself, when he would send everyone out to go break their fast, he would remain in the Beis Medrash, it says in the Ruach Eliyahu, until midnight, allowing everyone else a chance to eat and relax and, you know, recover a little bit from Yom Kippur, build their sukkah a little bit. And then people would come back to the Beis Medrash. Only then would he leave the Beis Medrash, presumably to break his fast. I once heard a story many years ago. It's probably an apocryphal tale, but it highlights this point. That the Vilna Gaon himself was once sitting in the Beis Medrash, and a young boy walked in. And the Vilna Gaon stood up for this child, full height. Stood up for this young boy. So the Talmidim came running over to the Gra. They saw such a scene. The Vilna Gaon stands up for a kid, a little child. Comes running over. They say, Rebbe, who is this child? He says, he's a boy from the neighborhood. Rebbe, why'd you stand up for him? So the Vilna Gaon said, because I know. The Vilna Gaon knew a lot of things. He said, I was told to, it was revealed to me, that last night this boy was lying in bed. He was having a hard time falling asleep. So he decided to kindle a little light by his bed. And he sat there, picked up a Jewish book, and started to learn for a couple of minutes until he got drowsy and fell back asleep. And it was revealed to me, said the Vilna Gaon, that he was the only child in the world studying Torah at that moment. He kept the world alive. So how could I not stand up for such a person? Again, it's probably an apocryphal tale, right? That this child was the only person in the world studying Torah at the time. I have greater belief in Klal Yisrael than that, right? But again, it highlights the point. That it would be kedai to stand up for a kid who was just saying Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Reish, Bar, Elokim, reading a pasuk, a word of Torah, to keep the world spinning. It's such a remarkable thing. So in response to the title of tonight's shir, Imagining Our World Without Torah, I think at this point it's safe to say, imagining our world without Torah, there would be no world to imagine without Torah. It's an amazing book, actually. Really worthwhile to read. A book by Ken Spiro. It's called World Perfect, The Jewish Impact Upon Civilization. And he describes, Ken Spiro, maybe read some of his articles on H.com, he has a couple of books. So he describes in his book, he spoke with 1,500 different people from different backgrounds, from different religions, and he asked them, what would make a perfect world? And in your understanding of a perfect world, the book's called World Perfect, what would be your ideal for what the world could be or should be? And he said, by and large, the 1,500 people that he spoke to and interviewed and questioned came back with six main things that they're looking for and what they would envision a perfect world. Six core elements. Number one, respect for human life. Number two, peace and harmony. Number three, justice and equality. Number four, a focus on education. Number five, family. Number six, social responsibility. What is the subtitle of this book? World Perfect, The Jewish Impact Upon Civilization. And he explains how barbaric ancient Greece, ancient Rome, ancient Egypt, how corrupt and how barbaric these societies, how backwards these societies were, and how Torah values changed the world and continues to change the world and pulled the world out of the dark ages and continues to pull the world out of the dark ages. Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or Torah lights up the world. Not surprisingly, the values that people are seeking for a perfect world are very much aligned with the values that Torah has brought to humanity at large. So again, can we imagine our world without Torah? And the answer is no. We could not imagine our world without Torah. But there's a second angle that I want to explore just for a few more minutes. on that title, Imagining Our World Without Torah. Because while we spoke about the world at large, I want to think for a few minutes in an honest way, a really honest way, to really think. Imagining our world, our individual worlds, our own lives, because every person is a miniature world. Every human being is an olam katan. That's what we find in the Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Pekudei and the Tikkuni Zohar, many sources that tell us that a person's a miniature world. Or it's alluded to in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, kol ha-makayim nefesh achas mi Yisrael, whoever maintains the life of one Jew, ma'ala alav ha-kasuv ki'ilu ki'im olam male, as if you've saved an entire world. Every person's a miniature world. So what would our world, think for a second, and I'm not saying we never think about it, but we definitely don't think about it enough. What would my life look like? What would I be? Who would I be? What would I be without Torah? How would I exist if I didn't have the values of Torah in my life? Just think about that for a second. Who would I be? Where would I be? What would I be? I mean, not just the world at large. The world needs Torah to exist. Yes, civilization and humanity need the world to exist. The world physically could not exist without Torah, without the reality of Torah. But how different would life be? I had the opportunity recently to spend time with two old friends. One who lives in Israel, lives in Shalavim, spent Shabbos by us this past Shabbos. Another friend from my year in yeshiva, after high school, who I caught up with for the first time in person in a long time, who lives in Riverdale. And they were both saying to me, and it's something that I feel, they're both in the working world. I have the privilege of, you know, playing a rabbi at work. I get to teach Torah on a daily basis. So it's a different world. One of them's involved in computer programming. The other one's a lawyer, currently working in Connecticut. And they were both saying to me, each from their own perspective. This friend from Eretz Yisrael was in on a business trip. He was saying, I have such an appreciation. As the more I interact with people of the world, I have such an appreciation. Such a hakaras hatov that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me a Jew and gave us the Torah. My friend from Riverdale was saying to me, he said, the people I work with, like what is the substance of their life? What is their vision of success and achievement? What are they striving for? He told me, I come home, he doesn't get home from work so early. He works hard, you know? And he gets home and he says, I have time usually just to spend a few minutes with my kids. And he said, but we've been counting Sfiras HaOmer together. And he says, being able to come home for a couple of minutes to put my children to sleep and just to count Sfira with them and to say there's something that we're striving for, we're counting towards Kabbalah Satorah. He said, that's so meaningful for me. It's so central to who I really am. Not the lawyer I play at work. That's how I make a living. That's not my life. That doesn't define the essence of who I am. And my friend from Israel who came to stay by us, who had some work in New Jersey and in Manhattan, and then he had to fly to Houston before he went back to Eretz Yisrael, he was saying at the end of a long day of meetings, everyone else goes straight to the bar, and he excuses himself. He said, I got to go to a synagogue to pray. I'm going to shul. Excuses himself from his non-Jewish coworkers who can't seem to make it through a 24-hour period without multiple drinks. And he says, I'm sorry, I have to go. Really? You go every day? You go to pray? Yeah. I go to pray. I go to study. So different. Right? How different our lives would be without Torah. In Pirkei Avos also, in this week's parak, it says, Gedola Torah, in source number 8, Yoser min ha-kuhuna min ha-malchus. Torah is greater than kahuna, the privilege of being part of the greats. And why is that so? Says the Mishnah, it's really a braisa, Sha-malchus niknes b'shlosha milos. Malchus is defined by 30 character traits. Kahuna is defined by 24 special privileges. Va-Torah niknes ba-arbayim u-shmona dvarim. But Torah has 48 dimensions to acquiring and experiencing Torah. And then it lists the 48 ways that we acquire Torah. Interesting how they relate to the 49 days of Sfiras HaOmer. One of them is Hamakir Es Makom, recognizing one's place. If you want to be successful in Torah, you have to know your place. Right? It's the rabbi's job to paskin the halachos, and it's the Baal HaBatin's job to ask the questions, not the other way around. Right? Know your place. A person has to know their place. It expresses itself in a lot of different ways in terms of the learning and living Torah process. But I was thinking, Hamakir Es Makom, you know what it means to know your place? One of the ways you can come to acquire Torah, in other words, appreciate Torah, recognize your place, recognize what your life looks like because you have Torah, and then just try to be Makir Es Makom. Where would I be in the world? Where would I be? What would I be? Makir Es Makom. When you realize how much your connection to Torah and its values define your place, and you're Makir that, you recognize that, it changes your understanding of Torah, it changes your appreciation of Torah, and it becomes one of the kinyanei Torah. It's terrifying to think about it. It's terrifying to think what my life would be like if I didn't have Torah in it. I'm not suggesting I'd be, you know, an axe murderer or something like that. Right? But how many of the things that I cherish in my life would be so different? Life itself, purpose in life, my goals, my aspirations, my understanding of what family is, my appreciation of community. It's not to say that the world doesn't have these things. I mean, read Ken Spiro's book. He'll tell you that all those things are because the Torah introduced it to the world and began to emphasize these things. Where would my ethics and morals come from? Just look about what's being debated in the world today and argued as if it's not abundantly obvious to those of us who have a little bit of a Torah outlook on things. How would I define success in the world? All these things are defined for us by our connection to Torah. And we have to stop and really pause on Shavuos, really every day, but Shavuos, the Yom Tov of Kabbalah Satorah, and think about, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu, we're so lucky to have been given the Torah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We like to imagine sometimes, no, I'd be the same guy. I'd still be a family man, I'd be a person of community, certain core values, and maybe yes, on some level, maybe yes. But also on some level, probably not. I want to learn together a story. It's kedai to see it inside. I want you to see these words inside, even though I usually tell the stories outside. But it's recorded in the Marbitzei Torah Umusar, a beautiful collection of biographical sketches for the entry of Rav Baruch Ber Leibovitz in the second volume. Aaron Sarasky, the great biographer, he tells a story from one of the students of Rav Baruch Ber, Rav Shlomo Hyman, originally from Belarus, from Minsk. Of course, became the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas, actually survived the Holocaust by coming to America in 1935. Shraga Feivel invited him to become the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas. So Rav Shlomo Hyman Zatzal told the story about his Rebbe, Rav Baruch Ber. In source number 9, Talmido HaNehav Rav Shlomo Hyman Miparich, that's in Belarus, Siper Pam, he told the following story. Kibis Naplus Zo Shahapurim Hiko. One time Rav Baruch Ber was attacked by a bunch of hooligans, and they were beating him up. Vivshito Me'alav Espigadav. And they were stripping away his clothing from him, to be mezalzim, to embarrass him, to disgrace him. His batei Rav Baruch Ber remarked at that time, he expressed himself in the following way. Achshav aleinu lismoach shivasayim babirchas asher b'charbonu mikol ha'amim v'naslanu estarasim. We have to be many-fold times thankful. Now that I've experienced this, I've experienced some good old-fashioned anti-Semitism. Got beat up. He said, now I have to pause and I have to say, wow. Asher b'charbonu mikol ha'am v'nasan lanu estaraso. What separates these thugs, these hooligans, these troublemakers, picking on some rabbi, some Jew? Halo roim la'an adam magia b'lo Torah. Look what a person without Torah can become. And Rav Baruch Ber said, and this is the line I want you really to think about, because it's true. It's scary, but it's true. Biladeh hainu alulim gam anachnu lirtzoach v'lachmos. What would stop us from being murderers and thugs and robbers if not for the Torah? Biladeh, without it, we would also, it's also within our reach to become the same people. I heard one time Rav Baruch Ber walked into the Beis Medrash, gave a clap on the bima, and he raised up his hands to a group of Bnei Yeshiva. And he said, I know you think the atrocities that are taking place in Europe, I know you like to imagine, how does a human being do that? How could anyone do that? And Rav Baruch Ber lifted up his hands. The great Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenetz lifted his hands and said, these same hands could commit the same murders of women, of children, the same atrocities, if not for the fact that we study Torah. Don't convince yourself, what's wrong with these people? That could never become me. It could become all of us. It's a scary thought. But it's an opportunity of reflection, an opportunity for us to think and to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how lucky we are that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us the Torah. And therefore, writes the Shlach HaKadosh, the simcha that we feel on Shavuos has to be a next level, a different level of simcha. Writes the Shlosh in source number 10, Chayiv Adam Lismach B'zeh Achag V'yoseh. Happy we have to be on the Yom Tov Shavuos. Just to think, who would we be? What would we? Where would we be if not for the gift of Torah? Ki Yom Shezachinu Bo Lekeser Torah is the day we were each given, each one of us in our own way. We're recipients of the crown of Torah. V'asimcha Asher Samach, or Sameach, Tiyah Simcha Ruchanis. The Simcha has to be one, not just of good Yom Tov meals and time to relax, but it should be a spiritual simcha. Ula hodos ula halel. That's what we're talking about tonight. Thanking Hashem. Pausing to thank Hashem. La Hashem yisparach shenasan lanu haTorah. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for giving us the Torah. Misorer ma'od belibo liskadesh ulitakein ma'isa. And I have to be better. I have to be more appreciative of Torah. I have to be more diligent about the study of Torah and the practice of Torah. And I have to be zocha to what? The vahagisabo yom v'layla that Yeshua describes in the first parak. Again, which the Navi was referencing when it said, im lo brisi yom v'layla, if not for that covenant of day and night, that around-the-clock commitment to Torah, chukos shamayim v'aretz lo samti, the world would cease to exist. I want to conclude with just one remarkable gemara in Maseches Pesachim, a gemara that you can't go into Shavuos without thinking about. Rav Yosef, the great scholar who was blind and often commented on some of the challenges he had and the unique opportunities he had as a blind person to study Torah. Rav Yosef biyoma de'atzarta amar. Rav Yosef on Atzeres, which is another name for Shavuos, would say the following. Avdi li egla tilsa. Bring me a calf that is three. Different opinions in the Rishonim what that means. Maybe the third born calf to its mother, maybe a calf that's 3 years old. Right? Whatever it meant bring me the best cut of meat. I want to make a big celebration. The finest meat. Igla tilsa. Bring me the third calf, which was known to be the most expensive and finest meat. Why? Why did he celebrate on Shavuos? Why did he spend a little extra on Shavuos to make it a little bit more festive than maybe some of the other Yom Tovim? Rav Yosef said, Omar, Ilo hayoma de kagarin. If not for what this day has caused, has transformed me, kama Yosef ika b'shuka. How many Yosefs are there in the marketplace? We've heard the term an average Joe. That was his name, Yosef. He said, I'd just be an average Joe in the marketplace, but now I'm Rav Yosef. As a blind person, what would I have done in the world? As a Talmud Chacham, there was never a limitation by me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a difficult nisayon, but it didn't stop me from becoming Rav Yosef, the great tzaddik, the great teacher of Torah that he was. Rav Yosef said, if not for this day, what would have been with me? And forgetting his physical handicap, maybe I'm overemphasizing that. Rav Yosef said, what would I have been in the world? I would have been a Joe Shmo, a Yosef in the marketplace, as Rashi explains in the second to last source. Ilav hayoma shalamati Torah v'nitzro mamti, had I not been elevated by a life of Torah. A lot of people called Yosef. I would never have been Rav Yosef. And it wasn't about kavod. But ma bini levenam. What would have set me apart? What would have given my life a different quality of living? And maybe to reflect on this in one final source. In the Sefer Beis Dali, a Sefer printed in Bnei Brak a number of years ago, Torah teachings from Rav Yitzchak David Leiter. I'm supposed to say Leiter, typo. He quotes from the Divrei Shmuel of Slonim, the Slonim Rebbe. The Slonim Rebbe who explained this Gemara in the following fashion. You know what it means, Ilav Hayoma Dikagarim Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka? Why is he obsessed with his name? I would have been, one of the Yosefs of the marketplace. The Slonim Rebbe had a different way of reading it. Shem Lo Hayom Shebo Nitna Torah. If not for Torah in my life. And now we're in the Shloshes Yemei Hagbala. Hagbala means what? There were checkpoints at our Sinai. Places you could go, places you couldn't go. Because to accept the Torah, a person has to know their limitations, positively and negatively. Says the Slonim Rebbe, Rav Yosef was saying, if not for this day, if not for Shavuos, Shem lo hayom shabon in the Torah, kama tosafos umosros, shel hashuk hamagushim hayu nidbakim chas v'shalom. Kama Yosef ika b'shuka. How many hosafos, how many additions would I have in my life from the marketplace? How many things would I have adopted because the world says it's supposed to be this way? You need to think like this in order to fit in, or you need to own this thing in order to fit in, or you need to dress this way to fit in, or you need to act this way to fit in, or you need to talk this way to fit in. And as a Jew, I'm able to say, thanks but no thanks. I don't need any of those things. Ilmale hayoma, if not for the clarity of the Yom Tov Shavuos, how many Yosefs, how many Hosafos, how many unnecessary additives, and we all have too many as it is. But how many more would I have in my life? So, Mirtz Hashem, we should appreciate the Yom Tov of Shavuos. This Shabbos, we read Parshas Bamidbar. And Bamidbar reminds us that the Torah itself was given in the Midbar. That a barren wasteland was completely transformed. a mountain came alive with flowers and beautiful flowering and grasses and trees and the sprouting of our Sinai. Because Torah transforms in the most remarkable way. So I leave you with a final quote from Rav Simcha Bunim of Rosh Hashanah. Because Rav Simcha Bunim said, people sometimes say, you know, Torah, it doesn't, how am I going to get it into me? So Rav Simcha Bunim said, just think about an actual Sefer Torah. We take a dead animal, an animal's hide, and we write on the flesh of a dead animal, we write the words of God, Bereishis Bara Elokim, all the way to La'enei Kol Yisrael. And somehow, through the writing and the etching of those words, the animal skin becomes transformed into a Sefer Torah, a holy Sefer Torah. So says Rav Simcha Bunim of Prishischa, so is it not possible for us, human beings, who are created in the divine image, who are given an neshama, is it not possible for us to etch some Torah onto ourselves and to be transformed by it, to become kadosh? If an animal skin can be transformed into a Sefer Torah, then certainly it's within reach for our lives and our physical bodies to be transformed by Torah. So Mirtz Hashem, we should appreciate the gift of Torah. We should reflect on where would our world be and where would our world be if not for the gift of Torah. And Mirtz Hashem, in that way, will reaccept the Torah with tremendous love, tremendous excitement, and tremendous appreciation. Shabbos and good night.